All right, welcome and thank you for joining us. I'm Drew with Kicked Out Media, and you're listening to The Workplace with Ben Brown. Today on The Workplace, Ben's going to sit down with a former manager of a big box retail store who has been recently going through a very long and arduous interview process, finding other positions. And Ben and Chris are going to sit and talk about some of the interview questions that you can hear if you interview for a job. I'm sure tons of you have heard best interview questions, worst interview questions, annoying interview questions. Chris is going to be coming from the perspective of somebody who has hired and fired many people and interviewed for a variety of positions, while Ben is someone who has been in the workforce for a little bit less time, but he's also gone through some of the same motions. Hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to The Workplace with Ben Brown.
Welcome everyone to a special episode of The Workplace with me, Ben Brown. I'm actually going to take things a little differently today. We're not just interviewing someone who has a job. Well, he does have a job, but before you get that job, you have to interview for it. And I went through quite an extensive interview process this past year. I've had 4 to 5 jobs in the past year, so I had to go through a lot of interviews. A lot of those questions bother me. Some of them, quite frankly, piss me off, and I don't understand why they're even asked. So I'm here today with Chris, who's going to defend some of those questions or agree to me that interviewers are just completely messing with you. So kicking it right off, thanks for joining me, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Drew mentioned you worked at a big box retailer. Which one was it?
That's correct. I've actually worked for Best Buy for 13 years. 8 of those years, I was one of the managers. So I've done a lot of interviewing my time.
How many people would you say you hired?
Oh, man. I've hired, gosh, I'm just going to say at least 100 people for the sake of math and 8 years of onboarding people. But it could be well over that.
And right now you're in the transition into another job.
Yeah. So I'm the one, the tables have actually turned on me. I'm actually pursuing my next career. So I've done several interviews in all forms and fashions. And it's kind of interesting that I'm no longer asking the questions. I'm the one answering them.
So let's jump into the questions. I feel like this is the first one, the one they have number one on their list. The first one I always get when I'm sitting at that interview table. Tell me a little about yourself. What do they want to hear? That, like, I'm addicted to porn and you shouldn't hire me. I'm an alcoholic. I love sports. When I'm not at the office, all I do is sit on the couch and watch TV. But what are you looking for here?
I actually really like that question. So with that particular question, I don't think it's necessarily a question in which the person's going to make the decision to hire you. It's an icebreaker question, and it allows the person that is sitting in front of you to see you as a person, not just an object. So do you have interests, and what level of passion do you have those interests, and how could that potentially correlate to the job that you're applying for?
I'll give you this one. That's round one for you, Chris. number two on here, another one that really irks me. I understand how you're supposed to answer it, but the question is, what are your biggest weaknesses? I always bullshit, and I'm sure most people do, and say, oh, I'm too honest, or I pay too much attention to detail, and sometimes I go slower, but I get the job done perfectly. What is there a good answer for this?
I think for that particular question, it's about, I think it's more about, are you putting on a show for me? Or are you willing to break down the barriers and not necessarily provide me with a weakness that shows that I shouldn't hire you, but shows that you are capable of recognizing a problem and you have the desire to work through that problem? And as an employer, I might look at that as something that's very simple to overcome or something that I feel like is a strength in myself to find as an opportunity to mold you, because hiring someone and having them do the job, Well, that's the easy part. The more difficult or the more rewarding part is finding a sense of growth in the people that you're actually onboarding to your company. Does that make sense?
It does. I still hate the question, but it does make sense.
That's fair. I mean, a lot of these questions I've come to find that can be difficult questions, but I think that especially in the moment, it's really important for you to push through those, especially when they're like, talk to me about a specific example. That's probably the one thing that I'm like, oh, can I think of something right here, right now?
That's my thing too. When you keep hearing the same question over and over, you build a script for yourself and then you sound more robotic in these interviews, especially if you're doing them more and more. So when I keep saying the same weakness, I actually start to believe it. And, you know, sometimes the interviewer believes it and now they think I'm telling the truth, but also I could be bullshitting them because I'm so confident in my weakness.
Well, I mean, I think when it comes to weaknesses, I think it's one of those things where we all recognize that nobody's perfect. But at the same time, that's not to say that you don't have legitimate strengths that are going to be assets to whatever position that you're applying for.
All right. Next question. Another one that really bothers me, because I feel like there's an obvious answer to this. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You have to say still with this company that you're interviewing for, even though you don't have the job yet. And ideally, you'll say you've moved up to whatever the next step, so like a manager or assistant manager position. Is there any other answer that you'd be looking for there?
So one of the things that we talked about or we evaluated people on at Best Buy is that I don't think that necessarily climbing the ladder is the answer that everyone's looking for, because I think especially depending on the job that you're applying for and the other things that you might have going on in your life, sometimes just being a rock star sales consultant or receptionist or whatever the case might be is enough to know that, okay, cool. I've got this person that's going to commit themselves to this company and they're going to continue to be a cog in that engine that is whatever that business might be. Because not everybody can be promoted. Now, is it good to maybe have those people that will want to pursue those roles? Absolutely. But I think that's another opportunity for a candidate to just be honest. And I've always been completely okay with people telling me that they don't know. Again, at least from my perspective, that's the development aspect of onboarding employees.
This one goes along the same lines. Describe your dream job. If I'm applying to work at Best Buy, but I say my dream job is to be the GM of the Chicago Cubs, because that's really what my dream job is. It's not working at Best Buy.
Sure.
Is that going to hurt me because I'm being honest, or is that going to
help me? Absolutely not. I think that the interview questions that people ask established kind of the base. Having a dream job lets me know that you're actually thinking. And while you are applying to work for me at Best Buy or whatever it might be for an extended period of time, at least for me, my question is, okay, this guy wants to be the GM of a major sports organization. What's the skill set, or what are the things that I could potentially teach him to get him there? Because I know, and I've told many of my employees this, that you will not work for me for the rest of your life. But while you're here, I'm going to try to make you better than you were when you first got here.
What question do you ask that gets what you want to know most?
Questions that you might ask an individual that go off script that would allow you to know the candidate a little bit more. I think for me, it's different for each person. So let's say, for example, I'm hiring someone to be a sales consultant for me, and this is their first job. One of the things that I often do is I'll find out, based on that very first question that I ask them, what do they like to do for fun or what their dream job might be? I will say, okay, cool. So you want to be the coach for a major sports team. Tell me who your favorite sports team is. Why? When did that happen? what makes that team better than all the rest? And what do you think you're going to bring to that team? Sell me on that team. And by asking that question, it will establish that passion that they might have for that team. But by the same time, it's like, okay, we're here to sell electronics. So when you're selling this whatever, speak to me with that same sort of conviction and passion around that product. Because if you can sell me a baseball team or whatever the case might be, then you can sell me this product as well. Because you'll be able to make that correlation.
So if you don't ask a follow-up question, is it safe to say you didn't get an answer you liked?
I don't know. I think there have been a few instances where a candidate will come in and blow me away, and I'll literally have nothing more to say. And so I think that's more of a positive thing than anything. I think the flip side to it, and one of the most important questions that I'll ask a candidate is that, you know, it's what questions you have for me, or what else would you like to tell me and helping me make the decision. And I think a lot of people take that very last question for granted, and they're like, nope, I don't have any questions. Or they'll ask the very basic questions like, well, how much do I get paid, or whatever.
Is it taboo to ask how much you'd get paid?
I think if you're going to ask that question, it has to be at the very end, the absolute very end, because you don't want to waste that person's time either. And being on the opposite end, being on the interviewee end, I've come across that a lot. And what I don't want to do is be offered something and then me waste any more of their interview process.
Since we're on that topic, every interview ends with the interviewer asking, do you have any questions? What are good questions to ask?
So a lot of the questions that I'll ask are going to be things like, what does the onboarding process look like? Or what does the rest of the interview process look like? And actually, one of the questions that I've been asking a lot lately, because I was with Best Buy for such an extended period of time, and I'm really trying to recreate the culture that I had, is going to be just that. It's like, talk to me about your team. Tell me about the culture that's currently in this location, and, you know, what makes everyone come to work? You know, so one place that I went to, all brand new employees. So it's like, okay, there's unlimited possibilities there. Alternatively, I've been to other places where they're like, well, everybody kind of keeps to themselves and they do their job and they go home. And for me, at least, that's not the culture that I want. I want to get to know people, because you have to think, when you're working somewhere 5 days a week for 8 to 10 hours a day, you've got to love it. And the people that you work with is such a important aspect of your job.
Is there a question that you either hate, you just dread that they're going to ask it, or you just don't really have a good answer to that you have been asked?
So the one question that's been asked of me over the last couple of weeks that I dread, but I know is coming, is, why'd you leave Best Buy after 13 years? One lady actually said, man, you know, I was one of your customers there. It seemed like you're really on the upward swing. Why'd you leave? And for me, that's the most difficult question based on my scenario, because I was so invested, and in some ways still invested with the company. And I think with questions like that, I think the most important thing, and really with any question that someone might ask, is just being completely transparent with what reality is, right? So in my scenario, I was fired, right? So in that, you know, from my perspective, being fired is like that scarlet letter. It's like, man, nobody wants to hire this person because somebody else clearly let them go. For me, when I'm answering that question, it's It's putting it out there and making sure that they know that you're not scared to put it there. But when I'm presenting it, it's ensuring that I'm painting the entire perspective from at least my view. They're welcome to research whatever the case might be. And I think through the answers that I'm able to provide them, it shows that this guy's a critical thinker. He's open and honest, and that's the sort of dialogue that I'm going to get if I hire him. And based on all the things that he's laid out, this is what he's going to be able to contribute to my company. Now, my scenario is a little bit different because I feel as though I was singled out, wrongfully terminated, maybe. But if it was a different scenario, say I actually did something wrong, that's going to be a tougher question to answer. And I don't know how I would answer that. If it was like a theft or a harassment type scenario, I don't know. I don't know how you would answer that question.
All right. And to wrap it up, I just want to go through a scenario. I was interviewing for what I'd say would put me on a track for a dream job. And I was pumped about the interview. The fact that I even got it, I was ecstatic. And I thought I killed the interview. Get all the way to the end where they ask if I have any questions, go through that. But then I ask, I don't know what brought this upon me, but I asked. I said, I just want some feedback. How did I do in this interview? And they looked me dead in the eye. There was two people went on it. They said, honestly, we're pretty impressed with you. We think you meet all the requirements for this job. Really, they made me feel great. And I'm like, man, I should expect an offer from this job any day. I come to find out that they interviewed about 20 other people, and they must have felt that way about 19 others of them, because they hired 18 people, but not me. So do you think I blew it by asking for feedback? Or were they just lying to me?
No. So from an interviewer perspective, I would say that that's definitely an uncomfortable question for someone to ask in that moment, because just as you're trying to make that first impression, the employer's trying to make a first impression as well. And not knowing what that candidate pool looks like, you don't want to burn a bridge in that moment. I think feedback's better for post-interview decision-making type scenarios. So if you were turned down, then you can ask, how did I do, or what was it that I said or didn't say during the interview process that you would change, or whatever the case might be. So I can definitely see that particular question not being a good question to ask.
All right. So it's good to know that if I got that job, my bosses would have just been liars. And, you know, they lied to me in the interview process trying to make that first impression. So who knows where it could have gone to. But anyways, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for coming on, Chris. I know this was pretty last minute. Hopefully I'm not interviewing for any jobs anytime soon. But if I am, I have some good insight. So thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for joining us on another episode of The Workplace. I'm Drew with Kicked Out Media once again. We've got all kinds of great content going up on the site this week at kickedoutmedia.com. Look for more episodes of The Blowby as the week goes on. We've got Jordan's at Kicked Out Bets Twitter page and the Kicked Out Sportsbook to keep up with all of your gambling knowledge. And that's it. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Workplace with Ben Brown, and have a great rest of your week.